Hola sobrinos, it's your favorite auntie, Tia Maria. This is the Café y Consejos podcast. Each week, I sit for a cup of coffee with a new guest as we talk coffee and anything and everything under the umbrella, and maybe even a little chisme. So grab a cup and let's chat. In this week's episode, I sit with Dra. Lidiana Garcia, a Boricua licensed psychologist in LA, California. She has over 10 years of experience facilitating healing from trauma and life adversities via her private practice, as well as the host of the Beyond Resilience Life podcast. We have a chat about a message that I received from a sobrina. So welcome, Dra. Lidiana. How are you?
Thanks. Well, thank you. I was going to say welcome. Thank you for having me. I'm doing okay. It's crazy this month. There's been a lot going on in my life. So, but besides of that, I am grateful to have health. I am grateful to have a place to live, and overall I'm good. Thanks for asking.
Amen. I love that. Yes. So here at Café y Consejos, before everything, first it's coffee. So how do you like your coffee?
I like it kind of like cortadito. So like very little, like just a touch of milk. And right now I'm drinking one called, this is going to sound like I'm not being Boricua, but I'm drinking like a one with mushrooms and all that and adaptogen. So it's called Raza. Well, Raza, I guess, in English, because it's not double R. And I love it because when I drink regular coffee, it sometimes messes me up, or I'm already an anxious person, so it makes it worse. But this one has like ashwagandha and saline, cinnamon and mushrooms and stuff to kind of help maneuver all that. It also has like hickory something. So wow. Yeah, but it tastes good. This one tastes good. I tried another one that I was like, no, it was called Mud, M-U-D. I did not like that one. It doesn't taste like coffee, but Rasa does taste like coffee. So
wow, interesting. I'm going to have to try that out because I am like hardcore Butelo and even Starbucks with extra shots. So
so maybe this might not be, because it doesn't give you the, it doesn't have the strength, but it tastes bold. If that makes sense.
Okay.
And it gives you, because of the mushrooms and everything they have, it gives you like sustainable energy. So you wouldn't get like this high from coffee that you would get from an espresso, but throughout the day, like it lasts. So that's the one.
Okay.
So far I like it. I'm even subscribed. It comes every month. Yeah.
Awesome. So I did, you know, we did speak about earlier, I did receive a message from a sobrina, and her name is Mariana, and she is from Miami. So thank you, Mariana, for sending this message. And it says, hi, Tia. So I think I have an issue, or at least my family says. I'm always busy, like with work, then other projects, like volunteering and my side hustles. Okay. Sometimes I do get busy, but when I'm not busy, I don't feel accomplished. And I have to say, Mariana, I know exactly where you're going, how you're feeling with this, because you know what? And I was thinking about this. I feel like for me, it stems from coming from the, you know, Latin culture, my family being Puerto Rican as well. If you're sitting down doing nothing, there's always going to be someone, whether it's your mother or your father, that's going to say, ponte a hacer algo, like you're not doing anything with your life. You're wasting away. Like, what the hell? Get to work, go clean. You know, it's so I can definitely really empathize with that. But I honestly feel that as the future ancestors, we have to be a little bit different and acknowledge that quiet time, silence, stillness is needed. Being in the world, especially now, I mean, with everything, it's just go, go, go. You saw TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, all of that. So many people are finding other ways to sustain and make a living. What are some ways that people can make it work when they're not burning themselves out?
Yes, so, so important. So I will start saying, besides validating, and I so relate with what you were mentioning about growing up, you know, Boricua and like you know, estás aburrido. That was scary. If I would say this, estoy aburrida, I'm bored. It would be like, estás aburrida. You know, there's this and you can clean this and you can clean that and you can, you know, there was always tasks to go. So that's one thing. But let me, if you might, let's go deeper into this, because I think part of it is, you know, we make jokes, we watch the videos and we, you know, like, oh, it's a part of the Latinx community or the Latino community or however you want to call it. And at the same time, this is rooted on a lot of collective trauma. And I'm going to name some of it. And I know this is a simple question and I'm going to go a little deep right now in the simplest ways possible. But this is rooted in oppression, in colonization, in the continued racism that's going on, systemic racism and all those kind of things.
Yes. Also,
patriarchy, especially because the ones that cannot be bored are usually identify as women, or that's what the other would call us. So there's that sense, and I'm going to bring it because from a nervous system perspective, when we've gone through collective trauma, and now our beings are not, like, our existence is not welcome in spaces that are majority more white oriented, or yeah, and we're othered by the mainstream, then that's already going to create our nervous system to be in what we call hypervigilance. So it's, we're like hyper alert of our surrounding and what's danger, because we adapted to this danger. And I think one of the adaptations was this work ethic that people call for Latinos, because you had to, because it was either you do that or you would end up honestly like in the streets. And that was the whole thing. That was part of the whole scary thing that they would always say, like, if you don't do anything, if you're not no one, then you're going to end up in the streets with drugs. And that's rooted on a survival mechanism that has been passed down generations. And let's add into that the whole catering towards whites and toward the, you know, the culture that was considered the supremacist culture. That part is also very important, because we survived catering our owners, are the people that were, you know, hired, our bosses, our supervisors, because by doing that, then most likely we were going to play low and they were not going to hurt us or kill us eventually. So catering to whoever is in control is part of a survival. This is basic, like, human and animal psychology, if we want to call it that way. And that's how animals survive. You know who's the alpha, and everybody else is kind of like, okay, I kind of vibe to you so that way I can keep here. Because if I try to be the alpha, the other alpha might try to fight you and you might not survive. So sorry that I went deep, but I just
no, yeah.
I think it's super important that we recognize that, and besides making fun of it and knowing like this is part of our culture, that we can start asking questions, because doing that, Mariana, is going to burn you. And you know that. We all know that. And burnout is real. And the effects of burnout could be very severe. And a lot of the times for the Latino culture, it's in our physical health. Our physical health, if we compare to other kind of ethnicities and all that, we are in a lower stand. Like, in general, there's a lot of diabetes, there's a lot of heart diseases, obesity, there's so much in health related, and that's how our bodies is taking the hit for being in a survival mode all the time. So then the question is, why do we do this? Because this is a huge kind of generational trauma, collective trauma, and this last 2 years has been so intense that it brought everything back up. Then what I would say is, working on individually and also collectively with your family and your community and your surrounding, because it's important to add the collective piece, but individually to working on first recognizing when you're in that mode, oh, I don't feel that I'm good enough, or I don't feel that I'm being productive, to notice what happens in your body. The more that you become knowledgeable about your body, about your sensations, about your intuition, that's in a way is like reclaiming your truth. That is a way of reclaiming your health. And it's
awareness.
Yes, that awareness is going to help you to be like, wait, am I in a survival kind of loop right now? even though there's no lion here that's gonna kill me, I went there. And now, and that's the part that I hate the most about this whole thing. All these collective control systems and abuse systems that you don't need to have like an officer checking you in your room now, like a physical extra person. It's inside of you. It's internalized. Now it's you. You internalize that fear, and that's how the system works. And that's what keeps you, because if you're so always thinking about being productive and all that, then you might not tap into your grandiosity, into your power. And that's what the system is afraid. They don't want people in power. They don't want people that feel aligned and that are able to see and take out the blinds and see the reality, because then we can create a revolution. And that's not what the system wants. So it's internalized. So we have to work in that internal part, learning about our bodies. How does our body feel when we're in that rest and digest mode, which is usually when we're regulated? How does it feel? How does your heartbeat feel? How does your body temperature, your sensations, do you have any tension in your body or not? And then how do you feel when you feel pressured by someone else or by yourself to do something? And how do you feel when you're resting? If that automatically takes you into that trigger, which makes completely sense. And it happens to a lot of people that they go into trigger mode, because being resting in back in for some people now, but resting could mean your death, because then you were not alert to do something about it. So it is a trigger. So it's a small doses of, after becoming aware, small doses of resting and pleasure and having fun and reclaiming, learning about your ancestors and where you come from, learning about what, doing the things that they used to do, eating the things that they used to do, to kind of like start reclaiming back. So that way it's like the memory starts coming and then you start seeing, and then you can know what to do. But rest is so important. And I did go deep, because if I would have gone, rest is so important, don't burn out, it would be like, it would have gone somewhere else.
Yeah.
Somebody is robbing your potential, your knowledge, by keeping you overworked. I hope that ignites a fire of like, hell no, I'm not going to let somebody else take control of me. So reclaiming that, one of the things is resting slowly, learning about where you come from, and collective with your community. How can you empower other people about your community? How can you learn? Recently, I don't know about you, Maria, but I actually, I was born and raised in the island. I moved to LA when I was in mid-20s. Not in the mid-20s, 19, mid-20s. But you'll understand that. But what I was going to say is, I went through all the schooling system in Puerto Rico, and I was told all these lies. I was told that all the Taínos were dead and that we didn't have that much information. There was only those places that we would go. We would go there and that's it. And when I moved here, via some of my clients, I got the information. Actually, there's great accounts about Taíno information. I'm like, wait, what? And now I'm like,
yeah,
I feel so disconnected from that. And that's part of the power. You take the people out of their land. You take, you know, the horrible thing that we learned that the First Nation Indigenous people of Canada knew, that it was in, you know, when they took those kids out into those institutions, and that was part of it, is like taking them out of the root, prohibiting them from speaking their language. So that way you disconnect and you get confused about who you are, because when you don't know who you are, it's easier to get controlled. But recently I've been learning about the Taínos and information that I didn't know. And there's groups about, you know, they do like now the rituals that they do, and in terms of full moon and stuff like that. And I'm like, this is fascinating. Why is this not in the history books that I learn about the Taínos?
Yeah.
And then let's not go, you know, in all in terms of my ancestors from Africa. Mm-hmm. I did read a lot about an episode that I did about post-traumatic slave syndrome. And I was reading about the where they were being taken from. Nobody, I don't recall ever, I was just Africanos, you know, slaves, but I don't recall them saying, actually, they were majority from this country. The majority was from this country. Let's explore that country so that way you can see the foods and stuff. No. And that's part of it. So as a collective, connecting again with your community, learning those things together and learning to reclaim your truth and your collective and your community's truth is going to empower you and is going to help you. So those will be the biggest recommendations. Yeah.
I love that. I love how you connected back way back to our ancestors, because that is where it all stems from. But I didn't even, I mean, you had, at least you were told, mentioned the Taínos in your education. I mean, I grew up in New York, so we weren't even told that, we weren't even told about the Taínos. Like, wow. I didn't know about that until, well, I was well into my 20s, and I felt so robbed, and I suddenly didn't know who I was anymore. You know, it was just, it was very interesting, and I really totally agree with you that as rest is just, you know, use it as a revolution for ourselves for going forward, and it's just way deeper than just your our health. Yeah, we know it's good for our health and all of that, but it, there a lot of a long history that it stems from. And what I was thinking is, in this world now that I've seen, you know, everyone has either a hustle or a side hustle or several hustles. And that's that common saying that I've seen, oh, a millionaire has seven streams of income. And they don't really explain that it's just not seven jobs, but a different, you know, different investments and all of that. And you have to have that hustle mindset. How do we incorporate a self-care mindset by and keep a balance with that? Because yeah, we should, you know, work hard towards our dreams if that's what we want, but how do we balance that out and not burn out?
That's a great question. And I think first of all is having that awareness of that, you know, that the importance of both, because it's not to go all the way to like, let's just rest for the rest of our lives. Necessarily, you need to eat, and the system is not going to help you. If you get out, it's actually going to push you into like homelessness and all these kind of things, right? So one of the things that I would say could be a start point is to know that things happen in a cycle. Just the same way as, and I'm not an expert in this, I'm barely learning about it again, because I was also raised under the Catholic Church, and the Catholic Church was also part of the colonization programming. They took away a lot of the knowledge and they demonize it. You know, anything that stood away out of the Spanish, yeah, you know, standard, mm-hmm, it was considered, you know, like the diablo, like demonized.
Yeah.
So the moon and the earth, let's just go to the earth, you know, in general, I know in Puerto Rico is a tropical island, but in general, there's cycles even for that. There's a cycle like you plant a seed, and there's times when to plant the seed. My grandpa would have known, because he was an agricultor. And then, you know, there's the harvest, then you eat it, and then you clean, and then you brown plant the seed. So everything has a cycle. We are born, we leave, and then we die. So if you take like just nature's cycle, then know that there's cycles for you as well to hustle, and there's cycles for you to rest. And both are helpful. It's like a car. You have the gas and you have the brake. So knowing when to do that, especially for you, for some people, they track if they have bodies with periods, menstrual cycles, then you can use that if that's helpful. And maybe you can notice if you have when you're in your cycle along that time, usually is when rest, and many indigenous culture in the past would use that time to like reflect. And there's a lot of information about the connection about intuition and all that. And then during the ovulation stage, then you were more like out there, and there's even physiological pieces about how you're more attractive, your skin is it's prettier and all these kind of things. And some people use the menstrual cycle to guide them. So when they're more like for about 2 weeks of their month, they're more into that active. That's when they plan their meetings, the going and hustle. And then for like about a week and a half or so, then they, you know, they don't plan meetings around that time as much as possible, or being out there. Maybe they reflect, they close things where they are. So that's more of the resting and allowing that in your calendar. it's going to be helpful. Some people function from a different, and I know, you know, people that don't have a menstrual cycle, then they can follow the moon cycle. Men or people that are mainly, you know, male hormones and all that function for a 24-hour cycle, which is how our world is. Of course, it's a patriarchy society, but you can find your own cycle. And the important thing is for that is put in your calendar. This will be the challenge. Put in your calendar your low, your rest times. What would that be? And then make a list of the things that you enjoy for resting, and also make a list of the things that you enjoy for having fun, and then integrate them in your calendar. Because I bet when we start our calendar, we start with all the important things, the meetings, whatever, doctor's appointment and all that. And usually we leave the resting, vacation and all that for the end, when we have time, if we have time. So integrating that would be one of the ways. And I would even challenge it more if you can down the road even integrate at least every day, even if it's 5 minutes of something pleasurable, or integrate that into your, like, I was driving in traffic and I don't like traffic. I was singing to like Spanish baladas and like Sin Bandera, Camila. And I was like singing it like with my mouth open. I'm like, if whoever sees me is going to think I'm screaming. Cause you know, Spanish songs are so dramatic, but that even is helpful for expression, for like throat chakra and all that. Like I was releasing stuff via it. So, and that's fun with my schedule, which it was driving. So those will be the things. So like being very conscious about how to add that self-care. People out there are even making a lot of money about promoting self-care, and usually it's about skin products, facials, massages, and all that. And that sounds amazing, but at the same time, it might not be attainable. So then if we wait until we get a massage, until we get our nails done, or until we use a hair product, or until we do that, then that's part of the system again, like even trying to take control of self-care. Self-care can be that, can be singing a song, dancing, can be walking around where you live, could be like cooking something that you enjoy, could be a moment of silence for anyone that's a parent like me, like just sitting in quiet. So all those things. So making a list of, you know, like more than 10 things that can be considered self-care for you and that can be integrated, simple, that don't require money. It's a good way to start. And then putting that in your calendar, that would be my recommendation.
Absolutely. I've been doing that. You know, this entire time I thought I was just listening to my body. When I feel tired, I just rest, or I love sitting down in silence. I love meditation. That is like, if I don't meditate, my world goes, it's crazy. I can't think, I can't focus. I'm just not myself. And it reminds me of when I read the book, and there's also a movie. The author is by Elizabeth Gilbert, and it was for Eat, Pray, Love. And she wrote in that chapter where they were talking about the sweetness of doing nothing. Was in Italian, dolce far niente.
Yes.
Right. So when when I read that book, I was like, oh my God, I'm going to do that. And just the other day, I caught myself. I was just working and just in my mind, just thinking about what I needed to do next. And I felt tired. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to stop and take a break and walk away and lay down. If I need a nap, I'm going to take a nap. I was like, I can't remember the last time I did this, but I'm going to do it because that's how I felt. And when I only did it for like 15 minutes. And when I got out of bed, I felt more focused and I was way more productive doing that. And I think other places, other countries, like, I don't know if it's Japan or China, where they actually enforce napping at work in the workplace. Like, I think that's great. You know, people sometimes take their breaks or lunches to scroll on their phone and do their own personal errands. I think you should just maybe just take that break to just shut your eyes or meditate for a little bit. And maybe who cares if it's in your car, if you have to do that, right? But it is really important for not just our health, our mental health, our spiritual health. And I think, you know, just like you said, I feel we owe it to our ancestors to do that.
Yeah.
To be the change, right?
Yes, they sacrifice all of this. And listen, here's the other thing that probably will be another question that somebody might have, which is, but I live with my parents, or I have my parents nearby, and they're, you know, they're going to criticize if I'm not doing anything, or,
yes,
or they would say something. Understanding where they come from, it's really important, like where they're coming from with that. Mm-hmm. If somebody's afraid, when you're afraid and you think something is dangerous outside, you might be also telling the people that you love, please be careful, right? Because you don't want them to get hurt. So that's what they're doing. They really are not necessarily aware, and they took the hit. They did the sacrifice of being in the front line for you to get this. And if you're not in a position that you're are barely making it, because that's different. In that moment, that might be a cycle to hustle and then finding small chunks, because that's what life is, unfortunately, and trying to find maybe, I honestly am really thinking, even when I work with clients that are in that situation, sometimes even considering like a drastic move, because if where you are in the conditions are not sustainable and you're working 2, 3, 4 jobs, there are other places that might not feel like that. And I know a lot of other places, it's harder when you are a body of culture and you look different and you move to a place like a farm or somewhere, and it's mostly like whites around and all that. And I understand that. And at the same time, there's more than just the US. So thinking out of the box and thinking bigger, because it's so important to find a place that can be sustainable. You can find a community to support you, especially for single parents that have several children that are in that situation. And if you cannot, then knowing that if you're taking the hit, it's like you are taking the hit, and how can it be different from your children? Because some people make some sacrifices. I believe that a lot of our ancestors made those sacrifices and opened those roads for us. And if you are in a position that you are in a better place, then use it, because they open it not for you to keep hustling and grinding until you die, for you to take that power, reclaim what you need, and then help. Because by you reclaiming what you need, then you can help your community, you can help those, maybe you can volunteer to help those single moms that have several kids and are working several jobs, and or, you know, work with the community of how can you make like build businesses together. Like I know I was a volunteer in a women's shelter, and one of the things that they started doing with those women were training them to create their own businesses, and they were selling foods or jewelry or something, and they would create like this events, and I think like Saturdays or something, people would come and buy their stuff, so that way they could get some money.
Nice.
And that you can do it in a community, so that way you can support each other. And 2020 and 2021 so far has shown us the importance of community, the importance of helping each other. Mm-hmm. We cannot do this alone. That's part of the internalized stuff. And then you get blamed, because if you don't do it, then there's something wrong with you, because everybody has the same opportunities. That is completely BS. We all don't have the same opportunities. So if you get better opportunities, then rest, take advantage, and then use it too for the ones that don't. Because when you're able and your cup is full, then you can pour it to someone else.
Yeah.
And that's what the system doesn't want either. So exactly. The part of that collective is important as well.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Speaking a lot of truth. I totally agree. So tell everyone what you do, about your podcast, how can they find you?
Yes. Yeah, so I didn't start. Well, I know you introduced him, but I have a practice, a psychology practice in LA, so I can see anyone in California for now. Besides of that, my podcast is bilingual, so every episode, there's only one that I need to translate, but mostly every episode, it's in both languages, English and Spanish, and it's called The Beyond Resilience Live. Right now, we just wrapped up, I think last week, episode 101, and I'm going to take a little break for the summer to kind of regroup, but there's 101 episodes that you can listen to. There's episodes on how to regulate your body. There's information about trauma in general, even information about you know, where it all begins, pregnancy, 0 to 5. And even if you don't have children, listening to those episodes can be helpful to learn about where you come from. Because when you learn that, then you can learn also, huh, I did not have this. Huh, how was it with my mom? And learn about yourself and reclaim yourself. And then down the road, if you want to have children, then those episodes would also be helpful. I have some for managing this whole pandemic, and there's a lot of great gems over there. And I am going to start some community events. Right now, it's projected the first one to be on July 2nd on Fridays for more like community healings. And it's going to be a limit of how many people. And this is not therapy, but it's going to be just a group, an open group to kind of discuss how we can heal together. Because again, the whole community part. So for those ones, I'll be announcing them soon via my newsletter and also via Instagram at dr.lidiana garcia. Lidiana is a mix of Lydia and Diana, so Lydia with Y and Lidiana Garcia, and over there you'll get the information. But that's going to start soon, and I'm really excited to start those community events.
Awesome. And I'll have that information on my Instagram and Facebook page on where everyone can find La Doctora. Thank you so much, Lidiana, for doing this. This was amazing. We can go on and on about this topic. So
it's a hot topic, especially recently. A lot of us that were like, that's not bothering us. It's like, boom.
Yes.
It's here and it's going to stay here. What are you going to do? Are you going to push it? Or are you going to? Yeah.
Yeah. Always face it. Gotta face it.
Yes, we have to face it. You have to push through. You know, that's how labor is. You have to go through it in order
to find
the other beautiful blessing on the other side. So
very true. Very true. Well, thank you so much for being
welcome.
Here.
Thanks for having me. And thank you. This was helpful, Mariana. I know I went.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And if anyone else has any questions, reach out to me on my Instagram and Facebook page. Thank you all for listening. Until next time.
Yes.
All right, let's move on to the tarot message of the week. All right, so this tarot message of the week, I am using the Enchanted Tarot deck. And this week we have the Death card. A lot of people feel like death is something negative and it's just an evil or a bad omen type of a card, but as many of us know, that it is the quite opposite. You'll see the skeleton on the card, and I'll have a picture of this up on my Instagram for you to take a look at. And the skeleton has kind of a little smirk on it. He's smiling through it. Oh, it's somewhat tentative, like is dancing or moving forward, and this is exactly what the Death card represents. It's moving forward with life. It's maybe the ending of one thing, but going forward into something new. So a lot of us might be going through that right now, and maybe you're feeling like you're fearing this change, you're fearing this new beginning. New beginnings are scary. The ending of one thing is sad sometimes for a lot of people. We try to fight the change a lot, and that makes things difficult. The act of release can make it possible for you to move forward once again. So think about what it is you're trying to hold on to that maybe is preventing you from moving forward to what you really want or need. And that is the tarot message of the week.
Thank you so much for listening, sobrinos. Be sure to follow on Instagram and Facebook at Café y Consejos Podcast. I also have a new website, caféyconsejospodcast.com. I will be sharing more stories behind each episode, as well as my journey. You can also buy a Tia cup of coffee at buymeacoffee.com/TiaMaria. And remember, tu tia loves you. Siempre pa'lante y portate bien.